This morning I'd like to begin by noticing a passage of Scripture with you from Psalm 56 and verse 3. David would say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." In this verse, David does not deny that he is sometimes afraid. How many of y'all ever experience fear? It's a part of our journey through life. But David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I won't panic. I won't cave in to fear. I won't be tormented by Satan. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And this psalm was written by David, apparently when he had been captured by the Philistines. You remember when David was a young boy, everybody, I guess, in the world has heard about David and Goliath. What a wonderful story that was, and recorded in Scripture to build up our faith in God. David met Goliath, a little shepherd boy, met the great giant Goliath, who was covered with armor. He had a shield, a mighty sword, and a little shepherd boy goes out and brings him down with a slingshot. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? The old saying is, David rocked him to sleep. But now, many, many years later, the Philistines have been able to capture King David. Now, can you imagine what they're going to do with him? David had brought shame to the Philistines by destroying their champion Goliath. He had brought defeat to the Philistines. But now the Philistines have captured him and are no doubt tormenting and torturing him. So let's read, beginning in verse 1. David would say, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." Thank God you and I are not in the camp of the Philistines this morning, as David was, but we all have enemies. Satan, for sure. How many of y'all do know the devil is your enemy? And all of his demons and the world around us is opposed to the Bible and the Lord Jesus and the church. So David would say in verse 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." What time I am afraid, and I'm sure David was experiencing fear in the camp of the Philistines. But of course, we won't go into how God delivered him, but it's a wonderful story. But David, in the midst of the enemy's camp, would say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And beloved, I'd like this morning for all of us to learn that lesson. Anytime we are experiencing fear, let's trust in the Lord. We need to be teaching our children to trust in the Lord. How many of you as parents today, or grandparents, ever talk to your children about not living in fear? To trust in the Lord. Children have fears. There are things that can scare children. And you and I need to be teaching them to trust in the Lord. Not only by word, but by example. David would say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Several days ago, my granddaughter Hannah was returning from Berry College to home for fall break, and she called me from Interstate 75. Her car had broken down right there on the entrance ramp to Interstate 75. And she called me up and she said, "Granddaddy, didn't you tell me that you put me on your AAA program? And I said, yes, I did. For those of you that don't know about AAA, it's a wonderful service. I've had it for 20 years. They will come and unlock your car for you if you ever lock your key up. Have any of y'all ever done that? I did it twice in 1 week one time. I know that's dumb, but they came and got the car open for me. They'll bring you gasoline if you run out. They'll change a tire for you, and they'll tow you if your car breaks down. So I said, yes, honey, I you're on our program. And they came and they got her car and towed it to Macon, 145 miles. But she called her friend, Caroline Lord, who also was at Barry, and told her car had broken down. So Caroline comes over to the interstate where Hannah is sitting, and to get Hannah, and her car broke down. Now, what are the odds of that happening? And Caroline called a brother from a church there that they attend, who's a mechanic. I've known him for years. He came and got her car running and got it back to his shop and repaired it. And so it was quite an evening. But, you know, those kind of things can happen to any of us any time. How many of y'all do know that? But aren't you glad to know there's a Heavenly Father who's watching over us? He does care for us. He is our God. And what time we are afraid, let us put our trust in Him. And if we had time this morning, I could start over here and have everybody in the church come up and tell me about times when you have been afraid and God was there for you. When you find out that you have cancer, that's a scary thing. It really is. A lot of people fear the weather. I know a woman whose grandparents were scared to death of a cloud coming up, and they instill that fear in their granddaughter. And till this day, anytime it starts raining, she experiences fear. Used to be paralyzing fear. She's gotten past that to some degree. But let's be careful as parents and grandparents not to teach our children to be paralyzed with fear. Now, whether, you know, a tornado coming, that's time to be scared, right? And seek for shelter. But you don't want to have a spirit of fear to get in you, and every time it starts raining, you're petrified with fear. Some people fear public speaking. How many of y'all would like to just get up here today and take my place and talk for a while publicly? People are scared to death of public speaking. I think I read one time in Reader's Digest, of all the things that people fear the most, public speaking was right up there at the top. And I am, unless I'm preaching. You know, explain that to me. If I'm at a social gathering and people ask me to speak, I'm scared. I guess it's the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that helps me to get up here and not be petrified with fear when I'm trying to preach the gospel. But people fear heights. They fear snakes. Now, you can put me in that category. I have no fellowship for snakes. I had a brother who was so scared of rats, he told me one time, Sam, if anybody ever tried to put a rat on me, I'd have to harm them. Rats don't bother me. Snakes, yes. I'm scared of snakes. Poverty. A lot of people fear running out of money, just being poverty stricken. Sickness, failure, death. A lot of people fear hell. Well, I want to tell you this morning, beloved, I hope God will bless me in a way this morning to preach the Word of God so that our fears can be minimized and our faith in God can be built up. That's what the Word of God will do. That's what the worship of God will do. It helps to build up our faith. Somebody said one time, when fear knocks at your door, let faith go and answer. Somebody said one time, fear knocked at my door, faith answered, and nobody was there. Faith is an incredible blessing that God gives us. It is the eye of the soul. It enables us to bring into focus the unseen God of the universe who made the heaven and the earth. And our faith enables us to trust in the living God. But the thing about fear is it'll knock at your door, and if faith answers, fear will go away. But you know what? It'll come back. It'll keep knocking at your door until you let it in. And I would encourage us this morning to keep trusting in the Almighty and building our faith up in the Lord Jesus. What we all need is for our faith to be strengthened. But if our faith in God weakens, our fears and our doubts begin to grow. But if our faith begins to grow, our fears and our doubts are minimized. How many of y'all would like today to have your faith strengthened? Now, faith is a gift from God. You don't get this kind of faith from your natural birth. You don't. You may have natural faith in natural things, like the bench you're sitting on. Y'all had faith in it, obviously, to sit down. You thought it would hold you up. You get on an airplane, you have faith in the airline, faith in the pilot. That's natural faith. But the kind of faith I want us to think about this morning is the kind of faith that God gives us when we are born of the Spirit. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And that faith needs to be strengthened. It needs to grow. We need a growing faith in our spiritual lives to help us deal with the fears that would torment us here in this life. Now, Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, who was evidently a timid young man and struggled some with fear, Paul said to this young brother, he said to him, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now think about that. If God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, who do you reckon does? It's the devil. He wants you and me to live in fear, to be tormented by worrying and fretting on this earth. Somebody said one time, why pray when you can worry? Well, I want to tell you, worrying has never helped anything. But prayer has done amazing things in our lives. So Paul is saying to Timothy, God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Now obviously, if you see a coil snake, you're going to experience some fear. And you need to do whatever has to be done to save yourself from that coiled rattlesnake. But you don't want to have the spirit of fear come on you where you just live in fear of snakes every day of your life. That's a spirit of fear that torments us. The Bible says fear hath torment. It will torment people. Have you ever been tormented by some gnawing fear? Fear can torment us. But I love what John said about it. Perfect love casteth out what? Fear. Now, what is perfect love? Well, it's not our love. We ought to love one another, and we ought to love God, but our love is not perfect. Who has a perfect love? God Himself. And the more you and I know about His perfect love, the less fear we're going to have, because we will know our Heavenly Father is watching over us. He cares for us. Who could ever doubt His love for us since He gave His only Son to die for us? Why did God the Father give His Son Jesus to die on that cross? Because we deserved it? No. He did it because He loved us with a perfect love, an unconditional love. I tell you, it blows my mind this morning to think that the God of the universe, the eternal being, who had no beginning and will have no end, who knows all things, has all power, full of grace and mercy, how he could love me with a perfect love. That is beyond my comprehension, but I believe it. I've been hearing it since I was a child, and I believe God loves me. I believe he loves y'all. Do you know how much God loves you? No. But we need to be growing in that love. Paul said to the Ephesians, he says, I'm praying for the church at Ephesus that they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height and breadth and length and depth of God's love. Paul knew the Ephesians needed a revelation of God's love. And you and I need that today. And the more we know how much he loves us, the less fear we will have in this life. Perfect love casteth out fear. And I just want us this morning to grow in our faith and our understanding of God's love. And know that he will take care of us and not be tormented by fear. This week I was listening to a podcast by a neurosurgeon who lost his son at the age of 19. And the neurosurgeon was talking about the different stages you go through when you lose somebody you love. And it was a very interesting podcast. But he concluded by pointing to the resurrection of our bodies. And he said, you know, what comforts me beyond anything else is this fact. I know I will see my son again on resurrection morning. How many of y'all believe in the resurrection? How many of y'all believe this cemetery someday will be vacated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Just like that. The dead will rise again, not in feeble, dying bodies, but they'll rise in a glorified body. And we'll see them and be with them in heaven for all eternity. And I want to tell you, no wonder David could say in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen to what David says. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Not into the valley of death to stay there forever, but I'm going through the valley to the other side to resurrection glory. And notice what he said, yea, though I walk. He's not running. He's not crawling in fear. He's walking with his hand in the hand of God. And I want to encourage everybody here today to know when that time comes for you to lose a loved one, and we all have, I suspect everybody here today has experienced the loss of people dearer to us than life itself. And you can testify with me, God's Holy Spirit has comforted you in that hour and blessed you to be reconciled to their passing, knowing you will see them again. And when our time comes, and it will, have you all noticed how quick life is passing? It's just unreal. Unreal. I went to my grandchildren's, my twin grandchildren's 16th birthday last week. 16 years ago. They were born in Macon, preemies, I think 7 weeks early. We didn't think they would live. I remember going in that intensive care unit and we could reach through some little screen and touch their finger. That seemed like it was yesterday. That was 16 years ago. How many of y'all do know life is brief? It's flying by. When I was a kid in school, it was on a turtle. It just crawled. Any of y'all remember that? When I got in my 30s, it was on a... You know, it was in a race car. Now it's on a jet plane. Time is flying by. But what time I'm here on this earth, and it's brief, I don't want to spend it tormented by fear. I don't want to be miserable. How many of y'all just wake up every morning saying, You know, I just want to be miserable today. I just want to be unhappy. I want to go to school and just be and dread it all. I just want to be unhappy. No. The devil wants you to be unhappy. He wants to rob you of your peace and your joy and your love. Jesus said, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let me tell you, you and I have no idea how wicked Satan is. We got a little glimpse of it last week in Israel when 260 young people were brutally murdered at a peace festival in southern Israel. They were there to celebrate peace. They were having music played. They were enjoying the evening. And these wicked, depraved human beings, you could hardly call them humans. We don't even want to acknowledge that they're part of the same race that we are. Going in there and brutally killing and doing things to children that I wouldn't want to talk about from the pulpit. I tell you, Satan is wicked. He is wicked, and he wants you and me to show our sinful nature. How many of y'all today, I want to ask this question. Now, you listen. I think it's a fair question. How many of y'all do know you have a sinful nature that's capable of thinking things you shouldn't think, saying things you shouldn't say? How many of y'all have said anything this week you wish you hadn't said? Come on now. How many of y'all ever sent a text you wish you could take back? We're sinners. But thank God we have been born of the Holy Spirit, so we have a godly nature in us that resists that sinful nature, and praise God for that. Where would we be if it wasn't for that godly nature in us? And I want to tell you, being in church around you all helps me to behave. And I want to stay in touch with y'all. I want to visit with y'all through the week some. I enjoy going to Pleasant Plains on Wednesday nights. I need to go more. You know, we just need one another. How many of y'all need the church? How many of y'all need your Bibles? How many of y'all need the fellowship of the saints? How many of y'all need God? Well, I want to tell you, we're in spiritual warfare, and Satan is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said. Are y'all still tuned in? Listen to what your Savior said. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How many of y'all just want your cup to be overflowing? I tell you, my cup runs over a lot of the time. What about y'all? How many of y'all can count your blessings? We sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one. Where would you even start? Somebody asked me that recently. I was preaching on Thanksgiving and said, well, Brother Sam, you tell us to count our blessings. Where would you start? I said, I'll tell you where I'll start. I'll be thanking God for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's where I want to start giving thanks. How many of us today are thankful for our Heavenly Father who isn't getting old, isn't getting senile, isn't getting silly? You know, I got to watch out. I'm 74 years old. Men can get silly when they get old. I've been reminded of that. But your Heavenly Father, He's not getting old and gray-headed. He's not getting senile. He's not getting silly. He's not getting weak. He's glorious. How many of y'all just want to thank God today for your Heavenly Father? You heard about the birds, you know, they were talking, the sparrow and the robin. And the sparrow said, why are those humans down there just running about scared to death? And the sparrow said, they must not have a Heavenly Father like you and I have. Even the birds can preach to us. How many of y'all just spend any time at all looking at nature and seeing how God... You know, we sung that song this morning and I turned the page down. I don't think you're supposed to do that. But We sung that song this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Y'all remember that? I tell you what, that song, listen to this. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Listen to this. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Who do we think is keeping the sun, moon, and stars in their planet, in their orbits? How many of us know who's doing that? Our Heavenly Father is. He's great. He's faithful. And then the Son. Oh, my soul, when I get to Calvary and I, by faith, look at Him hanging up there in my place, I just want to fall on my face and say, thank You, thank You, thank You for taking my place. And then the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all are thankful for the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter. And the Spirit just comforts me all the time. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the best friend you and I'll have in this world. Okay, after you get through thanking God for the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who are you going to thank for next? Well, your parents. You wouldn't be here without them, you know. How many of y'all had perfect parents? That's the silliest question I've ever asked. But I want to tell you, how many of them ever had any perfect children? When I hear kids complaining about their parents, I like to remind them, well, you know, they didn't have any perfect kids either. But you see, we learn to love. We learn to forgive. We learn to cast a mantle of charity. Are y'all with me today? Let's just give thanks for our children, our grandchildren, for the church, for the Bible, for the Holy Scriptures. Thank God for America. Do you know what a blessing it is to be an American? Billions of people around the world would love to be right here in this country as a citizen today. They're coming through the southern border. Now, I think they ought to come legally. I don't think we ought to just let everybody in. You need borders. But I don't blame them for wanting to come to a land you and I live in. How many of y'all have just thanked God recently for America? See, when you start praising God and thanking God, the devil gets upset. I don't think Satan's here this morning because he don't want to hear the gospel. I hope I preach in such a way he just leaves the building while I'm preaching, but he'll hang around. He'll be back in here in a little while. So, David said, when he's in the camp of the Philistines, and you know they're upset with him, he's saying, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Now, how can we build our faith like David did? Well, one thing we can do is do like David did. Notice in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 32, when the great giant Goliath is out there threatening Israel. How many of y'all have got giants in your lives? People that, you know, bully you or upset you or aggravate you? Well, you got your Goliaths. David had one. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Listen now, David is telling the king, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Beloved, what David did there was strengthen his faith by remembering when God had delivered him from the lion and the bear. Now, what you and I need to do is keep a little journal and remember the times in our lives when God has delivered us. That would be a good journal to keep, wouldn't it? Instead of keeping a journal of all your anger and your bitterness and how people have hurt you, forget all that and keep a journal of how God has watched over you and kept you as the apple of his eye. Isn't that an interesting expression? David said that, the apple of your eye. You know, when God designed the human body, the head, he recessed the eye back in the skull. And so it's surrounded by hard bones. And then he put eyelashes that automatically blink when something is coming toward your eye. And then if something is going to try to hit you, you'll put your arm up here to protect your eyes. Now God says, I'm going to keep you as the apple of my eye and in the hollow of my hand. We just need to keep journals of all God has done for us from the time we were in this world. It's incredible. And that'll build your faith up. See, you have walked with God. Everybody in this house today, you have had a walk with God. And God, I know, has been there for you and with you and watched over you. Keep that in mind. Just like David said to the king. The king says, this man is a man of war. He's been trained for war from his childhood. Look at his armor. Look how big he is. He's 10 feet tall. And you're a little boy? And David said, but my God is able. You see that? Don't look at your enemy. Look at God. See, faith will help you to see your God. And if you're dealing with financial problems, if you're dealing with cancer, if you're dealing with a wayward child, if you're dealing with anything in this life that you're no match for, I would encourage all to know your Heavenly Father will be there for you. And you can build your faith up by remembering how God has watched over you and cared for you all the days of your life. I hope maybe in some way this morning I've said something that will help all of us. Now, I'm telling you, Satan didn't want y'all to hear this morning. He didn't. And if you're not careful, you can forget it. You can let it slip away. You know, Jesus said when the sower went out to sow, the seeds fell on by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and plucked them up. The seed represent the gospel, the word of God, and the fowls of the air represent the devil. And they just try to come in and steal everything we hear from the word of God. Lock into it, beloved friends. Take your Bible seriously. Spend a little time in the word of God every day, especially the Psalms. And spend time in prayer. And you'll see your faith begin to grow. You're going to need it. I can promise you that. Everybody's going to need what I'm talking about this morning. You may be in a sweet season of life right now. Your health is good. Your business is good. Everybody in the family is okay. But you see, life is not that way for always. Troubles and trials come. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm bothered with fear. But I try to take it to the Lord in prayer. And I encourage you to do the same as well. Thank you for your presence here today and for helping us to worship God in spirit and truth.